Welcome to Massive Late Fee. And now your hosts, Mark and Carol.
Hello everybody. Welcome back to Massive Late Fee. My name is Mark. With me as always is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. It's been a good week here. It's April 2nd, 1999. Do you want to argue with me about what day it is? Happy after April Fool's Day, everybody.
No, I think you won that one, so yeah. We're good.
I win most of them, everyone. Just so you know.
It must be nice to be perfect.
Well, you know, I'm not perfect. I thought that I was wrong one time, but it turned out I was not. Right. Anyway, speaking of perfection, do you want to squash the Y2K bug, Carol?
Sure.
So, here's four programs that you can use to do that. Check 2000 PC. There's also IntelliFix 2000, Norton 2000, and McAfee Office 2000.
Okay.
So, here, let's read a little bit about this. You've heard the predictions that the world's computers will grind to a halt on January 1st, 2000, causing everything from an economic crisis and widespread famine to a nuclear meltdown. Most of the predictions have to do with government and corporate computers, but don't let that overshadow the potential problems faced by home computers. Yeah, that should be your top priority. Everyone's worried about nuclear meltdown. It's like, yeah, but I can't play Snake.
Yeah, that is definitely my concern.
Let's see. The same computer that cranks out term papers and visits the newest oddball site on the internet may well host a home business or family checkbook. It is those sorts of time-sensitive functions, spreadsheets, and data management, where PCs are most vulnerable to what we have come to know as the Y2K bug. This subject has been written about before, but it's worth revisiting. Early computers had memories that were... Yeah, we get it. We get it. We understand that there was a memory problem, so they shortened four digits for a year to two digits for a year. We understand.
Wait, that's why?
Yeah.
To save memory?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, they used to... The memory on the computers used to be really small. As a result, software companies have scrambled to develop scores of programs to fix or help you fix your computer's Y2K problems. I don't know. I just don't feel like this is that big of an issue to me. Check 2000 PC. It does an exceptional job of checking the Y2K issues in your computer. It's speedy and passes along the information in a simple-to-understand chart that provides the addresses of websites where you can download the appropriate fixes. So it's basically like, here, buy this shit.
Yeah, it's stupid. Don't do it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money.
I agree. Just throw out your computer anyway and just get a new one.
Wait till after 2000.
Yeah, once 2000 hits, just throw your computer out and get a new one. It's garbage now anyway. That's what I say.
It'll just be used as a paperweight.
Exactly. So, Carol, speaking of paperweights, do you want to talk about the newsmakers?
What newsmakers?
Well, so Bill Maher says a 2000 run would be incorrect, you know, politically incorrect with Bill Maher. It's a show I watch sometimes. Bill Maher for president? Not very likely, says the host of Politically Incorrect. Quote, I wouldn't want to be a politician because they aren't allowed to change their mind. Maher says in the current edition of Rolling Stone, if they do, they're accused of being inconsistent. There's no such thing in politics as evolving and learning. If you did, why then, you'd be a flip-flopper.
Gosh.
Interesting.
Okay. I think he wouldn't want to be a politician for a lot more reasons than that.
I don't think he'd be a good politician.
Agreed.
In my opinion. He does an entertaining show from time to time, but yeah, not a politician.
I don't think he could handle the responsibility.
Why do we always want celebrities to be politicians anyway?
I don't know.
Stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess maybe the familiarity, but yeah.
Teamsters block Baywatch shift. G'day, Baywatch! The long-running syndicated television show is heading to Australia after a Teamster official rejected a contract proposal to bring production to Hawaii from California, the show's creator said. Baywatch is going to Australia to find all that Australian talent down there.
Is this like for a special or like forever?
I don't know. Probably forever. Hmm. Greg, I don't watch Baywatch, so I don't know. Greg Bonin said Teamster Local 399 director Leo T. Reed would not agree to an 11% salary cut for Hawaii's movie and television industry drivers. That would have reduced minimum wage salaries from $1,840 a week to $1,641. The new show likely will be called Baywatch Down Under.
My God. Do you remember that episode of Friends with Joey and Chandler watching Baywatch? And
yes, like, yes, yes.
The beauty of the show is the running in slow motion. Always keep them running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have literally never seen an episode of Baywatch. I'm obviously aware of it as a cultural phenomenon thing. We all know who Pamela Anderson is. We all heard about the sex tape. We all know that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but I don't... Yeah, I don't follow it. So,
no, I mean, I've seen an episode or two, honestly, and it's not great. I mean,
can't imagine it is.
Yeah, there's usually some kind of like issue that they have to sort through, but it's mostly just, you know, people in bathing suits being attractive.
Brittany tells kids to find their niche or niche. Teen singing sensation Brittany Spears says she's happy being a role model. Quote, you want to be a good example for kids out there, and do not do something stupid.
Spears. How old is she?
17.
Yeah, exactly. Spears. She was a fucking kid. What the hell?
Spears says in the current edition of Rolling Stone, the 17-year-old whose debut album, Baby One More Time, is flying off the racks, believes the key to success for kids is finding a niche. If they find something that keeps them happy, writing, drawing, anything like that, then they'll have confidence.
Okay.
That sounds like a very scripted answer.
It sounds like a beauty pageant answer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it sounds, it's very, very safe.
Mm-hmm. And
Brittany, what do we think of Brittany Spears?
I don't know. I mean, I like her music. It's fine.
I had to have someone explain to me what Hit Me Baby One More Time means. I was like, why is she advocating someone slap her around?
My God.
But it was like, no, it's kid slang. It's tell me something, you know. Hit me up.
That's what it means?
Yeah.
I thought it was like, fuck me one more time.
Whoa! Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Wow, no, you always, why, like, every song, you always have sex on the brain.
Because that's my brain, that's
she,
how it works.
She hears Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, and she's like, that's about a woman coming, right? She's saying,
Hallelujah. Oh my God, stop.
real quick, before we get to the film that we watched today, I have one more quick story. I just thought this was interesting. We have the hot videos, the best sales and renting videos. The renting videos are what you would kind of expect. The Water Boy, Mighty Joe Young, What Dreams May Come. So there's something about Mary. Pleasantville, Snake Eyes Ever After, Soldier, Ronin, and Bride of Chucky.
Bride of Chucky, there you go. That's a good Friday night for you.
The top selling ones, though, Mighty Joe Young's on there. Then there are two in the top 10. There are two in the top 10 of selling. I want to see if you catch this, if you have any ideas.
Are one of them a Disney movie?
No.
Aw.
Mighty Joe Young, Taibo Workout, Ever After, 101 Dalmatians, Mulan, Ants, The Rescuers, Austin Powers, Crunch, Taibo Workout, The Temptations Movie.
What?
This Taibo shit. What is going on with this?
So you just read off a list of 10, and I'm supposed to pick the top two?
No, I'm saying there are two Taibo videos in the top 10, and I'm saying, what up with that?
By the way, The Rescuers is a Disney movie.
Billy, there's a lot of Disney movies on there.
But I asked, and you said no.
What I was saying is there are two I want to talk about that are in the top 10 of sales. And you asked him like if one of them was a Disney, and I said no.
I thought it was like trivia, like who are the top two movies.
No. This is just this week, but like this Billy Blank's Taibo shit.
Okay,
what is
Taibo,
this?
Sorry, go ahead.
What is it?
I don't know. Some kind of martial arts.
Taekwondo. workout. I don't know what it is, but it's like it's this new workout thing, and I think it's weird.
It is weird. It's all weird. You're weird. I'm weird.
Speaking of weird, Carol.
Yes, dear.
We watched a movie called The Matrix.
The Matrix, yes.
Real quick before we get to our thoughts about it.
Okay.
I thought it would be fun to read the review by John Monahan in our very own Detroit Free Press.
Okay.
He gives The Matrix 1 star.
Are you fucking kidding me? What is wrong with him?
A computer crash nightmare with Keanu Reeves as a kind of hacker Christ sent to redeem the real world from cyber men in black who have reprogrammed it as a computer game in which everyone wears black and speaks in epigrams.
What?
Anyone convinced technology is our undoing can use this effects-laden brain-dead boar as evidence.
Oh!
Rated PG-13 for violence.
Are you fucking kidding? Like, he doesn't even understand the movie.
Well, so, to me, it comes across as old man, like, yells at cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. I don't think he understood the movie at all.
Like, he said that it was reprogrammed, like everybody wears black and shit, but that was the real world.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars.
I mean, I guess everybody who was aware of the real world in The Matrix was wearing black.
That's one of the things I want to talk about. There are many things I want to talk about with this movie. So, the style, the aesthetic, the feel of the movie, the cinematography, the effects. There are a lot of things to talk about with this film. I will be the first to admit that I made fun of this movie before we saw it. What's The Matrix? Who gives a fuck?
Where's Sophie? Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Keanu Reeves. Career over.
What?
Dumb.
No.
Not a good actor.
I don't agree.
No, I'm just saying that's what the things I was saying before this movie.
Okay.
He's still not a great actor. He's not great in this movie. Like, this isn't a career defining performance. This is a pair of directors who understand exactly who Keanu Reeves is, exactly how to use him, and he may have found his own Britney Spears niche or niche in this, because he's wooden as an actor. He seems like a very nice guy. I don't mean to like pile on him or whatever, but he's wooden as an actor. He's not a Jack Nicholson. He's not a great actor. But in this movie, he's kind of like an avatar. He's a placeholder for us.
Okay.
As a point of view character. And as that, his acting style works really well. Big, bold choices in this role, I think the movie doesn't work.
Okay.
If you make big, bold acting choices in this, then I think it ruins the aesthetic of the movie.
I can see that.
I think the way he acts is perfect for this. The whole, like, whoa, what's going on? There is no spoon. Like, you know, like, I know kung fu. Like, when he gets out of the computer and he's like, I know kung fu. It's like, that's not a good line delivery, but it totally works in this movie.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think he's supposed to be kind of shell-shocked the whole time, so his, like,
I think that's part of
lack of emotion works.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it works. It doesn't in a lot of movies. I don't think it worked incredibly well in Speed or anything like that, but it works in this. And I feel like this may be part of a career renaissance or renaissance?
Renaissance.
Anyway, what did you think of The Matrix, Carol?
I loved it. I thought it was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a super fun movie. Mm-hmm. I liked the action. I don't know. And it speaks, I think, to everybody's fears about, like, AI and what, you know, the world's going to turn into.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. What did you think?
So, I think this is probably the best movie of the year. This may be the best movie since we started the show.
Wow.
Like, this movie is fantastic. So this movie is written and directed by the Wachowskis. We saw their movie Bound. Remember when we watched that Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly lesbian movie? They get naked and have sex. You don't remember Gina Gershon?
No, I remember them getting naked and having sex.
Okay.
When you said that, I remembered.
That chokes her up, everybody. She's...
I remember nothing else about that movie, but I do remember that.
So I liked that movie. I didn't think it was fantastic, but I liked that movie. What was interesting about that movie was the innovation of camera movements. Every shot is interesting in that movie. And the Wachowskis bring that to this, too. To me, maybe the biggest triumph of the movie is that obviously, if you haven't seen the movie, go see the movie. There's going to be spoilers all over the place, and this is a movie that can easily be spoiled. So go see it if you haven't seen it. But the conceit of the movie is that there was a war. AI took over, kind of like the Terminator, and we had a war. Human beings and the machines had a war. And the machines have now enslaved the human population to use them as batteries, which I'll get to, which is dumb as hell.
That part.
And I have a feeling that there was something else that makes a lot more sense, but we'll get to it in a minute. But they've enslaved them to use them as batteries, and in order to keep them alive, they've created a fantasy simulated world of Earth at the peak of human civilization,
which is right now. Yeah,
which is hilarious. I love that. But anyway, so that's the conceit of it, and people have been let out, and they're Neo, which is Keanu Reeves' character, is the newest one to be let out. Because of all that, as written, the movie is terribly paced. As written on the page. And it has to be by definition. You're dealing with a lot of information that you have to get across to an audience. So the entire front end of the movie is front loaded with tons of exposition. And then the back end of the movie is the actual plot and all the action that happens. So, as written, the movie at the beginning is very boring. It's people talking in rooms. And then you get to the action stuff, right?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of action at the beginning, bunch of boring people talking in room stuff, action at the end. The brilliance of this movie, and I think the best thing that they did, is they made every single one of those exposition scenes interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That the movie doesn't have a pacing problem. As written, it should, but it never feels like that. It never feels like a slog.
Yeah.
Because they brilliantly have this computer program that's like a training program, so they can bring stuff into there. And they use that dynamically. The camera is almost always moving, doing something interesting, showing interesting shots. There's a lot of dynamism going on in the actual movie making that makes all these simple dialogue scenes where we got to get this information out to the audience interesting and engaging. And like it connects you to the movie.
Yeah.
And to me, despite all the other stuff that we're going to talk about and all the other praise that I'm sure will both of us, because it seems like you liked a lot too, will heap on the movie. That to me is the biggest win for the Wachowskis in this movie, is that they were able to make all of that interesting.
Yes. Yeah, they did a fantastic job. You know what I was thinking about though? Like, when they woke up, like the very first person, can you imagine being the very first person with nobody to explain anything to you? Like,
exactly.
That'd be horrifying.
Yeah, how did any of, like, I feel like this movie is almost built for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to do a sequel or not. But they
definitely set it up for one, for sure.
But yeah, they definitely set it up for a sequel. I would be interested to know a little more about the beginnings of this revolution. The mm-hmm. first, like, they briefly mentioned the first person to come out of this.
They did. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, and that he started to say, like, it's very much, as the bad reviewer said, it's very much a Christ allegory. At one point, Keanu Reeves at the beginning of the movie is selling something. It looks like a computer program. I don't know if like it's one of those things where what was that Hackers or what was the movie where it's like computer program as drug. I can't remember. I think Keanu Reeves might have been in it too. I don't remember. I think it was Hackers, but there was like they were using a computer program as like a drug. It almost seems like that. Like he's selling them something illicit or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a computer program. And the guy goes, thanks, but you're my own personal Jesus Christ. And it's like, okay. Like, that didn't seem so heavy-handed at the time, but after seeing where the movie went, it's like, okay, I get it.
Right.
I get it. He is a Christ allegory, obviously. But they talk about the first guy that came out of the Matrix, Morpheus does, the God of Dreams. That's also funny.
Love it.
And he says that there's a prophecy from the Oracle that he'll come again, basically. The first guy that you know, like, he'll come again, and they're, so they're looking for the one, and they think it's Neo. Neo, an anagram of one.
So the first one to break out is supposed to be, like, reincarnated into somebody else?
I guess. I'm not sure. I would be interested in learning more about that, too. Like I said, I would love the backstory. Who was the first person to get broken out? Who built the machines, the stuff, the hovercraft stuff they use and everything?
Yeah, like, they have a whole like process to break them out of their little like incubator thing.
Yeah,
and I doubt the machines made that.
No, so that will be interesting too. A lot of people there is a lot of backstory that's touched upon but not really delved into. The fact that a lot of people are born into the Matrix now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, they're incubated and farmed and stuff like that.
How does that happen?
And Keanu Reeves was one of them.
How does that happen?
They just come, like in vitro, basically. They combine the stuff they need to. They grow it in the little pod. And then, because when he opens his eyes, he's like, why do my eyes hurt? And they're like, because you've never used them.
Right. But I'm just like, okay, people are in their minds having sex, but they're not having sex with their bodies.
Right.
So, and like, I mean, they're all like asleep, basically.
Maybe pregnancies don't occur. Maybe it's one of those things that's like people don't even think about, but pregnancies don't even occur. Or maybe the computer randomizes it.
Randomizes it?
Yeah, just like whatever, like they have sex and it's like, okay, you got pregnant this time. And then they create a baby and put it in the Matrix with them.
I guess.
Don't know. That's another one of those weird things. So I feel like if you think really, really deep about this movie, you may be able to pull some strings.
Well,
I don't know that it's, although it's a lot more tightly knit of a narrative than many other movies we've seen. The one thing, my one complaint, I only have one, is the battery thing.
Yeah.
So human beings, the conceit is that people, they released nuclear weapons or something like that, so they scorched the sky out so that the sun can't shine through, which, by the way, would kill all of the people, too.
Yeah.
But so, because they were solar-powered machines. So in response, what the machines did was enslave humanity and turn them into batteries. The amount of energy that it would take to create a simulation for everyone in the world to keep us all of our biological, you know, stuff alive and everything, all the energy that it would take to do that stuff would be way more energy than one human body could produce.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we would make terrible batteries. Human beings use up fuel. That's why we need to eat and stuff like that. Like it makes no sense. I think because this script is so brilliant, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but I think the Wachowskis said, yeah, so they enslave humanity because they need, for whatever reason, they need this Matrix thing, right? Or maybe it's just like a way to keep us asleep or whatever. Who knows? But I have a feeling that their thought was, yeah, they need computing power. So they use our brains all connected together to boost their computing power like an internet. And the studio heads were like, no one's going to understand that. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know what the internet is. They were born in 1940 or whatever.
Right, right, right.
And they're like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Make them batteries. That makes more sense. And we can show a battery. We can get a Duracell.
sure.
partnership or something. Like, I think that's what happened. And so they reworked their script to do that. But that, to me, that's the only thing that blatantly, and it didn't take me out of the movie, but it was close because it's such a fundamental part of the plots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like I said, it's not something that I think makes any sense.
Well, and the fact that they liquefy the dead ones and use them to feed the live ones, and like, yeah, cannibalism is bad for people, yeah, and it would cause a lot of
diseases,
problems.
Yeah. Stuff, yeah. Yeah. That also doesn't make any sense. Like, a human body doesn't have all the nutrients we need anyway.
Right.
So I don't. Yeah. And they make their own nutrient paste and stuff like that. The humans, they're eating something that looks like cream of wheat or whatever. And they're like, yeah, it's nutrient paste. It's an amino protein with all the, like, you know, all the other vitamins and minerals you need. It tastes like
yum.
Sugar. Yeah. But it's like, they could just use that.
Yeah.
If the human beings can make it, the machine should be able to make it.
But the people aren't eating. The people are just, like, comatose.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird.
It's very weird.
Why did Neo just get flushed? So they let him out of, he takes the red pill. He goes through the mirror or whatever, touches the mirror, and the mirror gets him and stuff. I think that's the metaphor of, like, you have to go through the door. That's him going mm-hmm. through the door. But then he wakes up. He wakes up in his pod. He pulls his own trach thing out or whatever.
Yuck. That was awful.
One of their little squid monsters comes and looks at him, grabs him by the neck, and then, unscrews his thing. And then he gets flushed. Or was that one of theirs?
Huh.
It seems like it was one of the robots, but maybe it was one of their machines.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, since it was helping him get out, I would think it was one of the humans' machines, but maybe getting flushed is like, oh, he's defective because he woke up and he should have been going somewhere else. I don't know.
My thought was they thought he was dead.
Hmm.
They're like, oh, he's like, his body's jerking, moving, or whatever. That means he's dead. And so it's like, he's dead, just flush him. And then they rescued him. That was kind of my thought. But maybe they reprogrammed one of those squid machines to help them or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that are not explained. But, you know, it's like more than 2 hour long movie, I believe. So
yeah, right about 2 hours.
They couldn't really fit that much more in.
Right, which is, like I said, that's why I'd be interested in a sequel. It's rare that I say, hey, we should do a sequel to a movie, but I'd be kind of interested to see some of the backstory stuff. You can do the past. You could juxtapose the past with what's going on in the present and everything. But yeah, I mean, I guess we have to talk about what they're calling bullet time too. That's the thing. We see it right at the beginning too. They only use it a couple times, but we see it right at the beginning too with Trinity, Carrie Ann Moss,
mm-hmm.
when she, that's another biblical reference, obviously, Trinity, Holy Trinity,
of course,
where she jumps up in that, like, martial arts pose. She's going to do the Daniel LaRusso crane kick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she pauses in midair. Everything slows down and the camera spins around and everything. So they call that bullet time. That was used in a music video, I guess, actually, first, one of John Bon Jovi's music videos.
Okay.
I think like a year ago or something like that. But basically, they have a bunch of cameras and they take a bunch of images all at once. And then in editing, they can use, it's like still frame almost. They can use all those still frames and then, you know, move it so it looks like it's panning around and everything like that. And it makes it very interesting, unique. Like, everything about this movie, the aesthetic of this movie, some of the music even, it has a very distinct, unique feel. You can see all the very deliberate choices in everything, and it's a crystal clear, singular, no pun intended because it's two directors, but singular vision throughout mm-hmm. the entire movie.
So, I mean, the one thing, I love the aesthetic of the movie. I love the wardrobe choice. I think they look badass. They look like, you know, they shopped at Hot Topic where everybody's afraid right. to go because everybody in there's scary.
Black leather and dark sunglasses.
So I wonder, though, like, these are supposed to be, like, basically avatars of themselves, not really them.
True, yes.
So,
yeah, because Keanu Reeves, obviously, he's got a bunch of holes in his body from where he was hooked up to the machine. and his hair is super short. Mm-hmm. But when they go into the Matrix, his hair is long, like it was when we first see him and everything. So yeah, it's them, but it's not 100% them.
It's an idealized version of them. But why did they all decide that I can choose to look like anything and I'm going to look like I'm a Hot Topic shopper?
I don't know. Like I said, to me, it's like, so there's a new kind of movement called steampunk.
Okay.
It's like a punk style mixed with old style. And I think this movie is tapping into a little bit of that. There are anachronisms in this movie for sure. It's supposed to be 1999. Even the year for them, they said, is closer to 2199, the actual year. But in the simulated world, the Matrix, it's supposed to be 1999. But all the phones are like rotary phones and yeah. stuff. So it's like there are deliberate anachronisms. And they're not mistakes. They're obvious deliberate choices.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think that the black leather kind of thing, it goes with that. So it's
sure.
more of a timeless kind of look, because you could see it in the 70s. You could see it in the future.
You think you could see people walking around like that in the 70s?
In black leather trench coats? Sure.
Huh. Well, actually, that's true, because I had a black leather trench coat that belonged to my mother in the
70s. Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I want to see another one. I want to have the questions answered. I think the action scenes were amazing, like mm-hmm. when they slow down time. And
I've heard complaints about the ending of the movie.
Okay.
That the beginning of the movie is like heady and philosophical and interesting and stuff like that. And then the end of the movie is a generic, like, shoot 'em up kind of thing. But I kind of disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I like the action, because I was trying to save Morpheus. I like the action at the end of the movie. I think it works as this, like, explosion of just, everything's been building up, and it's just this big, like, explosion. And then I like the fight of Neo and the agent mm-hmm. at the end. The agent's, like, no one's ever defeated an agent, and then at the end of the movie, he jumps inside of him and, like, bursts out and everything.
That is a fucked up way to kill something.
He dies, but then it comes back
mm-hmm.
to life, just like Jesus.
Yeah.
And E.T., which is also a Jesus allegory.
It is?
Yeah.
Huh.
He dies, he's resurrected, all that stuff.
Okay.
Comes from another place.
Is every resurrection story a Jesus story?
I don't know if everyone is, but every resurrection story is going to be compared to Jesus for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of them at least have something to do with it, you know. But yeah, I mean, like, I can't recommend it enough. I would say go see it in the theater and then go see it again in the theater.
Yeah, and buy the soundtrack, because the music was also amazing.
I'm do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
What are you doing there? That ending
song, you know.
Okay.
We're fucking yeah. coming for you or whatever. He gets on that. I want to see that too. Like, what? Okay, here's a question. What do you want to see out of the sequel?
I want to see them fighting back. I want to see them yeah. like freeing more people.
Yes, bringing more people out. I thought it was interesting too. And I hope that they in the sequel, if they make a sequel, which I think they will, but I hope that they touch on this a little bit more too. I love the idea of, like, these computer programs, because the agents are supposed to be computer programs.
Mm-hmm.
These computer programs can take over anybody's body, and they do. But the bodies they're taking over are the people they're trying to save. So, like, as they're shooting and stuff like that and everything, because you see they kill one of, like, the police officers or whatever, and the agent face goes away and it goes back to the regular person. That's somebody in the Matrix that's yeah. now dead.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a potential person they could save and be like, hey, guess what? You're not actually working for some shadow organization trying to kill us. You're a human being enslaved. And it's like, I want them to touch a little more on that too. Like, having to fight back. And that's, they make Neo at the end of this movie super, super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, he flies.
Yeah.
And it's like, I worry about, because Superman has that problem of being so powerful that he can't be hurt, so nothing seems like it has stakes and it's not interesting anymore.
Hmm.
To me, that would be a way to kind of neutralize that problem, is if he's got to fight against people but not kill them and try not to hurt them. So he has to hold back a lot of his power as he's fighting back, because they don't want to kill a bunch of people. They want to save a bunch of people.
Interesting. That would be hard. That would be a good conflict.
That conflict would aid the movie, I think. So I'd like to see some flashbacks to the past, as Neo learns more about the past, and the fighting stuff in the future.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great. But I thought it was fantastic. I don't know what the hell that reviewer was talking about.
Yeah, he's on drugs.
That's an out-of-touch person.
Maybe he had a stroke. I don't know.
That's a person that does not understand the movie in any way.
Right.
But this was fantastic.
So go see it.
Carol, that's the episode for the week. Why don't you tell people where they can go?
So you can check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out the Patreon at patreon.com/latefee. Or wait, / what?
Retro late fee. Oh my God.
Holy shit.
That's how I want you to put it into your computer too. Like patreon.com/late fee. What? Retro late fee.com.
Apparently I'm the one having strokes. Anyways, share the tapes with your friends.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.